Chapter 28. My home and work in the morning land. I was not, however, destined to remain in the land of dawn. Home was now to be in the circle of the morning land, and I was therefore escorted thither by my friends. Seemed to grow bright aurora advance in the land of dawn, but whose beauties belong to this morning land. This land lay in an opposite direction from that range of hills beyond which lay the plain of remorse. In the morning land I found that I was to have a little house of my own, a something earned by myself, a place of my own, and this little cottage, simple as it was very dear to me, where they opened out and the ground stretched away in undulating slopes of green and golden meadow land. Trees, no shrubs, around my new home, no flowers to gladden my eyes, because my efforts had not yet blossomed into flower. But there was one sweet trailing honeysuckle that clustered around the little porch and shed the fragrance of its love into my rooms. This was the gift of my beloved to me, the spiritual growth of her sweet pure loving thoughts which twined around my dwelling to whisper to me ever of her constant love and truth. There were only two little rooms, the one for me to receive my friends and to study in, and the other my chamber of repose, where I could rest when weary with my work on the earth plane. There was my picture framed in roses, and all my little treasures. Sky outside shed down on me so pure a light, my eyes, long wearied to see it, gazed on it again and yet again. The soft green grass and the fragrant honeysuckle were all so sweet, so delicious to me, wearied as I was with my long dark wanderings, that I was overcome with the emotions of my gratitude. Joy, what a happiness I felt, and still more when he bade me come to earth with him and show this home in a vision to her who was its guiding star. It's far finer, my presence fear far more beautiful in every way, but I have never felt a greater happiness than I felt when that first home of my own was given to me. On the earth plane I did at this time, all the sad ones I helped to cheer and direct upon the better way. There is a sameness in such work that makes one example serve for many mortals and brings ever new changes, fresh progression, and thus while I was working to help others I was gradually myself learning the lesson which had proved most hard for me to learn. Our forgiveness of our enemies, which will enable us to feel that we not only desire them no harm but that we even wish to do them good, to return good for evil cordially. Some punishment should overtake the one who had so deeply wronged me, and it was as hard, or harder even, to desire now to benefit that person. Being on the earth plane I went and stood beside that one, unseen and unfelt save for the thoughts of me that would be awakened, and each time I perceived that my enemy's thoughts were to the full as bitter as my own. There was no love lost between us, standing there I beheld time after time the events of our lives blended together in one picture, the dark shadows of our passionate hate dimming and blurring these pictures as storm clouds sweep over a summer sky. In the clearer light of my spiritual knowledge I beheld where my faults had lain, as strongly or more so than I beheld those of my enemy. Most regrets, the keenest anguish, yet always unable to feel aught but bitterness and anger towards the one whose life seemed only to have been linked by sorrow and wrong to my own. One day while standing beside this mortal I became conscious of a new feeling, almost of pity, for this person was also oppressed in soul, also conscious of regret in thinking of our past. A different course towards me had been followed. The first softening and melting of the hard wall of hatred between us, and benefit this person even as the chance had before come to me of doing harm, and now I was able to overcome my bitterness and to take advantage of this opportunity, so that it was my hand, the hand which had been raised to curse and blight, which was now the one to help instead. My enemy was not conscious of my presence nor of my interference for good, but felt in a dim fashion that somehow the hatred between us was dead, and that, as I was dead, it were perhaps better to let our quarrels die also. Mutual pardon which severed the links which had so long bound our earthly lives together. I know that during the earthly life of that one we shall never cross each other's path again, but even as I had seen in the case of my friend Bendo, when death shall sever the thread of that earthly life, our spirits will meet once again, in order that each may ask pardon from the other. Not until then will all links be finally severed between us and each pass on to our appointed sphere. Long after the life of earth is past do they cling to us, and many other spirits whom I have seen tied to each other, not by mutual love but mutual hate. Learn the lesson of self-conquest. My mind seemed to be free from a great oppressive weight, and I turned to the study of the spirit land and its conditions with renewed interest. At this period of my wanderings I used to see my friend Hassan very often, and he helped me to an understanding of many things which had perplexed me in my earthly life. Conversations. I asked him to tell me more of the spheres and their relation to the earth, is, as you have seen, applied to those great belts of spiritual matter which encircle the earth and other planets. Applied to those still vaster, more extended, thought waves which circle throughout all the universes of spheres, those which are in a measure material and encircle each their own planet or their own solar system and form the dwelling places of the spiritual inhabitants of each planet. All advancement of the spirits. The other class of spheres are mental, not material, in their constituents and do not belong to any planetary or solar system, but are as limitless as the universe, circling in ever-widening currents of thought emanations from the central point, around which all the universe is held to be revolving, and which point is said to be the immediate environment of the Supreme Being, from whom these thought waves are held to proceed. It may perhaps make my meaning still clearer to say there is one great sphere of the intellectual faculties or attributes belonging essentially to the soul, and then to divide this sphere into circles such as the circles of philosophy, of art, of music, of literature, etc. It is a common mode of expression to call them spheres, but to my mind it is more correct to describe them as circles, intellectual circles, like great wheels, enclose all those lesser wheels, those spiral rings, which surround each their own solar system, or parent planet, wheels within wheels, revolving around the one great center continually. Only those who are in sympathy ever remain together, and though the ties of relationship or the links of kind remembrance may at times draw together those who have no common bonds of union, these will be but flying visits, and each will return to their own circle and sphere, drawn back by the strong magnetic attraction which holds each sphere and each circle of a sphere in unison. A spirit belonging to the sphere of music or philosophy will be drawn to others of a like disposition who are in the same stage of moral advancement as himself, but his development of a higher degree of music or philosophy will not enable him to ascend into a higher circle of the moral spheres, or planetary spheres, than his moral development entitles him to occupy. Magnets. They are as great prisms glowing with the celestial fires of purity and truth, and darting on all sides their glorious rays of knowledge, and in these rays cluster the multitudes of spirits who are seeking to light their lamps at these glowing shrines to reach the earth pure and unbroken. I found those gems of truth which have illuminated the minds of men in all ages of the world's history, and shattered into a thousand fragments the great rocks of error and darkness, even as the lightning's flash shivers a granite rock, letting into the depths below the clear light of God's sun. And those spirits who are most highly advanced are those who are nearest to the central force, to the dazzling light of these star-like centers. All faculties may, then, be termed the universal spheres, those around each planet, planetary spheres, and those surrounding the sun centers, solar spheres, the first being understood to consist of thought or sound essence, the others of various degrees of spiritualized matter. And how, then, would you describe the creation of a planet and its spheres? The creation of a planet may be said to begin from the time when it is cast off from the parent sun in the form of a nebulous mass of fiery vapor. In this stage it is a most powerful magnet, attracting to itself the minute particles of matter which float through all the ether of space, devoid of all material atoms such as float in the atmosphere of planets. But that is an incorrect supposition, the fact being that the atoms of matter are simply subdivided into even more minute particles, compared to which a grain of sand is as the bulk of the sun to the earth, subdivided and dispersed through space, instead of being clustered by the forces of magnetic attraction in the planet into atoms the size of those which float as motes in the earth's atmosphere, have become not only invisible to man's material sight but are also incapable of being detected by the ordinary chemical means at his disposal. They are, in fact, etherealized, and have become of the first degree of spirit matter in consequence of the amount of soul essence which has become amalgamated with their grosser elements. In becoming attracted to the glowing mass of an embryo plant, these atoms become so thickly clustered together that the more ethereal elements are pressed out and escape back into space, leaving the solid gross portion to form into rock, etc. Through the constant attracting of fresh atoms and the necessarily vast increase of pressure thus caused, other elements which constitute the universe, and they are absorbed and cast off again by planet after planet as each passes through the various stages of its existence and development. The heads, and again each of the three heads may be subdivided into an infinite number of degrees of density, in order to express the various stages of sublimation to which they have attained. The three principal classes may be termed material or planetary matter, spiritual or soul enveloping matter, which is no longer visible to material sight, and soul essence, this last being so sublimated that it is not possible for me yet to describe its nature to you. Earth, etc., are formed. These are thrown off into the atmosphere as dust and reabsorbed continually to be changed, by the process continually going on in nature everywhere, into plants, etc. The intermediate degree between the rocks and the plants is the fluidic, in which the more solid particles are held in solution by the various gases or vaporized form of the chemical elements which constitute them. At gradations of earthly matter we reach the highest, named souls, which, whether it clothes the soul of man or one of the lower animals, is still the highest degree of material matter, containing in this highest degree of earthly material development all those elements of which the lower degrees are composed. The second or spiritual form of matter is, as I have said, merely the etherealized development of the first or earthly form of matter, while the soul essence is the animating principle of both, the divine germ, without which the two first forms of matter could not exist, or they lose their power of cohesion and are diffused into their elemental parts again. Ego, since by no power can it be disintegrated or lose its individuality. True life of whatever lower forms of matter it may animate, and as such changes and shapes that lower matter into its own identity. Soul essence is in and of every type of life, from the mineral and vegetable to man, the highest type of animal, and each of these types is capable of development into the highest or celestial form, in which state it is found in the heavenly sphere of each planet and each solar system. Maintain that everything has its soul of a higher or lower type, it need not create surprise in the mind of any mortal to be told that there are plants and flowers, rocks and deserts, beasts and birds, in the spirit world, exist there in their spiritualized or developed state, and are more etherealized as they advance higher, in accordance with the same law which governs alike the development of man, the highest type, and that of the lowest form of soul matter. Still fused into gas, its soul essence passes with the spiritual matter pertaining to it, into the spirit world, and to that sphere to which its development is most akin, the most material portion being absorbed by the earth, the more sublimated particles of matter feeling less of the earth attraction and therefore floating farther from it. Thus in the early stages of a planet's life, when it possesses but a small portion of the soul essence and a large amount of gross matter, its spheres are thrown out first in the direction farthest from its sun and are very material, and the development of its spiritual inhabitants is very low. This stage, the vegetable as well as the animal and human types of soul life, are coarse and gross, wanting in the refinement and beauty which may be observed as the evolution of the planet advances. Genes thrown off become correspondingly higher. In the first stages of a planet's life the spheres scarcely exist. They may be likened to a represented by the planet itself, the earth plane being the highest sphere which has developed, and the lower spheres by reason of the degraded tastes and low intellectual development of the planet's inhabitants being like the wide end of the cone. Develops the spheres increase in size and number, and the higher ones begin to form, the point of the cone receding from the planet towards the sun as each of the higher spheres begins its existence. Formed below and above the planet by the constant influx of the atoms thrown off from the parent planet. In stage of their formation, when the intellectual and selfish propensities of man are more highly developed than his moral and unselfish faculties, these lower spheres in extent greatly exceed the higher ones, and these may be termed the dark ages of the world's history. when oppression and cruelty and greed spread their dark wings over mankind. Law of the higher evolution of all things causes the higher and lower spheres to become equal in extent and number, then may we see the forces of good and evil equally balanced, and this period may be termed the meridian of the planet's life. Next follows the period when by the gradual reversed, the earth plane becoming again the narrow end by reason of the shrinking and disappearance of the lower spheres, while the higher ones expand towards the highest of all, till at last only this highest sphere exists at all and the planet itself shrinks gradually away till all the material gross particles have been thrown off from it, and it vanishes from existence, all its gross atoms floating away imperceptibly, to be reabsorbed by other planets yet in process of formation. Then will the sphere of that planet together with its inhabitants become absorbed into the great spheres of its solar system, and its inhabitants will exist there as do already many communities of spirits whose planets have passed out of existence. We community, however, will retain the characteristics and individuality of their planet just as different nationalities on Earth do till they become gradually merged in the larger nationality of their solar system. So gradual, so imperceptible, are these processes of development, so vast the periods of time they take to accomplish, that the mind of mortal man may be forgiven for failing to grasp the immensity of the changes which take place. They are not similar in their duration, because size and position in the solar system, as well as other causes, contribute to modify and slightly alter their development, but the broad features will in all cases be found the same, just as the matter of which each planet is composed shows no chemical substance which does not exist in a greater or less degree in every other. Able to judge from the condition of the planets around us what has been the history of our Earth in the past and what will be its ultimate destiny. Individuality as spirits become merged in that of the solar system? No. Most certainly individuality of each soul germ is indestructible, it is but a minute unit in the vast ocean of soul life. But still it is a distinct unit, the personality of each being in fact its ego. Possibility of dispersing or destroying the soul which constitutes its immortality, which distinguishes it from all other matter, and makes its nature so difficult of explanation or analysis. Member of our brotherhood of hope, yet you retain your individuality, and so it is with the soul eternally, no matter through what conditions of existence it may pass. A realized vapor is heavy beside it, yet a body possessing such power of cohesion that it is utterly impossible to disintegrate its particles, the power of resistance against all material or spiritual forms of matter which it possesses being equal to that which a bar of steel offers to a cloud of vapor. Imagine this and you will realize how it is that as a spirit you can pass through solid doors and walls of earthly matter, and how a spirit higher than yourself can pass with equal ease through these walls of spiritual matter which surround us here. This envelope which can be imprisoned on earth or in the spheres, be ingress or egress, you pass through them as easily as your earthly body used to pass through the fog. When you passed through a fog there was no vacuum left to show where your passage through it had been. This was because the elements of which the fog was composed were attracted together again too quickly for you to perceive where they had been dispersed, and that is exactly what happens when we spirits pass through a material door or wall. The material atoms of which it is composed closing after our progress even more quickly than the fog. I understand you, and now if, as you say, each type of soul essence has a distinct individuality of its own, you will not agree with those who believe in the transmigration of the soul of an animal of the lower type into a man, and vice versa, certainly not. We hold to be capable of the highest degree of development in its own type, but the soul of man being the highest type of all is, therefore, capable of the highest degree of development, namely, into those advanced spirits we call angels and planetary life through all the planetary spheres till they have attained to the celestial spheres of the solar system, our heaven of heavens, which is as far in advance of our heaven of the planetary spheres as that is in advance of the planet itself. We believe that the soul will go on mounting continually as by ever-widening spiral rings, till it has reached what we now term the center of the universe. But whether when we do attain the summit of our present aspirations we shall not find it to be but a finite point revolving round a still greater center I cannot say. Shall attain to center after center, ever resting, it may be millions of years, in each, till our aspirations shall again urge us to heights as far again above us. The more one contemplates the subject, the more vast and limitless it becomes. How, then, can we hope to see an end to our journeying through that which has no end, and has had no beginning? And how can we even hope to form any clear idea of the nature and attributes of that Supreme Being whom we hold to be the omnipotent ruler of the universe, seeing that we cannot even fully and clearly grasp the magnitude of His creation? Realization of spirits. Another time when we were conversing, I asked Hassan for his explanation of the phenomena of the spiritualistic movement which has recently been inaugurated upon Earth, and in which I am naturally deeply interested, particularly as relates to materialization, and of which I wished to learn all I could. Hassan replied, "In order that the mind may grasp the full significance of the atomic theory, which has of late been advanced by men on Earth, and which affords one of the most simple as well as logical explanations of the passage of matter through matter, it may not be out of place to say, for the benefit of those who have not given much thought to the subject and like these questions put before them in the simplest form, that the subdivisions of matter are, as we have said, so minute that even the speck of dust which floats invisible to the eye, unless a sunbeam be let in upon it to illuminate it, is composed of an infinite number of smaller particles, which are attracted and held together by the same laws that govern the attraction and repulsion of larger bodies. Materializations now familiar to students of spiritualism. The atoms suitable for their purpose are collected by the spirits wishing to materialize, from the atmosphere, which is full of them, and also from the emanations proceeding from the men and women who form the spirit circles of Earth. Life sufficiently advanced in knowledge, they could extract this chemical from every living thing in nature and store it up to be used at will. In fact, the mysterious elixir of life, the secret of extracting and retaining which intangible form has been sought by the sages of all times and countries. As subtle, so ethereal, however, is it that as yet there is no process known to earthly chemists which can bring this essence into a state to be analyzed by them, although it has been recognized and classed by some under the head of magnetic aura element. The life-giving rays of the sun contain it, but who is there as yet among chemists who can separate and bottle up in different portions the sunbeams, which is the most delicate, the most subtle, by advanced spirits? And some day when the world has progressed far enough in the science of chemistry, the knowledge of this process will be given to men, just as the discoveries in electricity and kindred sciences have been given, discoveries which in an earlier age would have been styled miraculous. The medium. Sometimes the chemical elements in the aura of one sitter do not amalgamate or blend thoroughly with those of some other sitter present, and this want of harmony prevents any materialization taking place at all. In extreme cases, these antagonistic elements act so strongly in opposition to each other and are so repellent in their effects upon the atoms collected, that they act as a spiritual explosive which scatters the atoms as dynamite shatters a solid wall. Organism has nothing whatever to do with the moral or mental conditions of such persons. Estimable, earnest people, but they should never sit in the same circle and never be brought into magnetic contact, since their auras could never blend, and only general disappointment can result from any attempt to harmonize them. Apart, they might each attain satisfactory enough results. They never could do so in any attempt in combination, such as the moving of tables or carrying in the air of musical boxes, and similar feats. This peculiar essence exists, but in a form too coarse to be suitable for materialization, which requires a certain degree of refinement in the essence. In them it is like a coarse raw alcoholic spirit, but in the true materializing medium it is like the same spirit redistilled, refined, and purified. And the purer this essence, the more perfect will be the materializing powers, but in exact proportion as the coarse physical manifestations are cultivated, so will the higher and finer forms of materialization be lost. Imagine that in true materialization you are getting merely the double of the medium transformed for the moment into a likeness of your departed friends, or that the emanations from the sitters must always affect the appearance of the resulting spirit forms be of the special essence, or an inability on the spirit's part to use it. In that case the atoms retain the personality of those from whom they are taken, because the spirit is unable to stamp his identity upon them, as a wax image, and until it be melted into a new mold, it will retain the impress of the old. The possession of a sufficient amount of the special essence, on the one hand, enables the spirit to clothe himself in the atoms he has collected and to hold them long enough to melt them, as it were, into a state in which they will take on his identity or the stamp of his individuality. Absence of the essence, on the other hand, causes him to lose his hold before the process has become perfect, and thus he has either hastily to show himself with the imperfect resemblance he has obtained, or else not show himself at all. He may explain my meaning. When in the earthly body, you took flesh, vegetable, and fluid substances ready formed, containing in a prepared state the elements your earthly body required for its renewal, and by the process of digestion you changed these substances into a part of your soul's earthly envelope, aired atoms given off by the medium and members of a materializing seance, and by a process as rapid as lightning artificially digests or arranges them into a material covering or envelope for himself, bearing his own identity more or less completely impressed on it according to his power, directly or indirectly, from the atmosphere around him, and absorbed in one form or another, and after it has served as clothing for his spirit, it is cast off to be again absorbed in another form by some other living thing. A prescriptive right to those atoms thrown off during a séance, and say that when a spirit makes use of them and adapts them to himself, therefore he must have taken their own mental characteristics along with the material atoms, and thus they try to persuade themselves that the spirit appearing clothed with these material atoms is no more than the thought emanation of their own bodies and brains, ignoring, or more probably not knowing, that the grossest material, not the mental atoms, were all the spirit wanted to clothe himself with and make him visible to material sight. Fallacy of this supposition is the constant appearance at seances of spirits whom no one present was thinking of at the time, and in some cases even of people whose death was not known to any of the sitters. The essence or fluid ether of which I have spoken is that which principally holds the material body together in life, at death, or, more correctly, the withdrawal of the soul and the severance of the connecting link between it and the material atoms of the body. It escapes into the surrounding atmosphere, permitting the particles of that body to decay. Heat accelerates it, thus explaining why the body of any animal or plant disintegrates or turns to decay sooner in hot than in cold climates, and thus becomes nourishment fit for those minute parasites which are stimulated and fed by a lower degree of life magnetism which is retained in the discarded envelope. This essence or fluidic ether is akin to the electric fluid known to scientists, but as electricity is the product of mineral and vegetable substances, it is lower in degree and much coarser in quality than this human electricity, and would require the combination of other elements to make it assimilate with the human higher animal life principle as distinguished from the soul life principle and from the astral life principle. Distinct elemental principles, either artificially induced or occurring as part of the spiritual development of certain sensitives or mediums, this life essence remains with the body. But, as life is required for its need in trance, a large portion may be taken away and used by the controlling spirit to clothe himself, care being taken to return it to the medium again. Essence is given off so freely that unless care is taken to replace it continually, the death of the physical body will soon follow. In others it can only be extracted with great difficulty, and in some there is so small a quantity that it would be neither wise nor useful to take any away from them at all. Will diffuse a most lovely clear silver light, which can be seen by clairvoyance, and it helps even immaterialized spirits to make themselves visible. This silver light can be seen radiating like the rays of a star from the medium, and where it is present in a very high degree no other light is required for the materialized spirits to show themselves, the spirits appearing as though surrounded by a silver halo, and with this beautiful light illuminating their garments, they appear much as you see pictures of saints and angels, whom no doubt the ancient seers beheld through the medium of this species of aura. And a good circle of persons still in the material body may simplify the process of building up a body in which a spirit may be able to clothe himself, yet it is quite possible for some spirits of the highest spheres to make for themselves a material body without the aid of any medium or any other person in an earth body, and in the atmosphere of the earth as well as in the plants, minerals, and animals, is to be found every substance of which the body is composed and from which the life essence is extracted.